This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 2, Episode 13 of TMNT Classic, Return of the Technodrome. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 18. Episode 18.
We're back.
I think this is on time, kind of. I don't.
Well, it depends when it goes up.
Well, it's gonna go up today. As long as there's not a lot of editing.
No, just keep it clean, boys.
Just keep it clean. It's not crossed too many lines. There was one episode I think I must have cut just recently. One of the episodes.
Oh yeah, last episode.
I think I cut 30 minutes out of that.
Last episode was an edit fest.
It was an edit fest. It's funny though. Only we know the original content.
Yeah, that's the really, that's on the cutting room floor.
It's on the cutting room
that's floor. That's on the DVD extras.
The ones that'll never come out. Oh, I realize what I'm going to do now is with Pod-O-Matic, once you go beyond a certain amount of space, you have to pay to get an upgrade in space. So what I'm going to do is once we reach that point, I'm just going to delete a bunch of the old episodes off of the server and go, if you want them, you know, you have to pay us $1. We'll give them to you.
We'll see what happens.
That'll be our revenue source.
Our revenue source. And the ads that we're going to be dropping in every now and then.
Of course. ACFS. That's an old reference.
That's an old reference that no one's going to get.
No, someone will get it. But
no.
Not anybody listening to this.
I get it.
I'll get it. You'll get it. We're listening to it. You know what? Let's go on a little mini tangent here. Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
It was cold as fuck up here.
Was it cold?
Yeah, fucking. It was like -4 on like Saturday.
No, it's not.
And then cold. Sunday was like 5 degrees. It was cold as shit.
I don't miss that.
Yeah.
Do not miss freezing in New York.
Yeah. It was fine.
And you throw any pizza? You throw any pizza at your woman?
No.
You're a pizza tossing gut though.
Didn't happen.
Did you go to a restaurant?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was fine. They charged us up the ass though, because we didn't realize, like, oh right, it's Valentine's Day. You guys are charging up the ass.
Mm-hmm. I went to a restaurant that gave me a really good discount once, you know, and then I went there again, and they didn't feel the need to give it to me the second time. And I just went and I brought it up to them and went, hey, last time I was here, you gave me a really good discount. No, I said, hey, do you guys do any discounts? And the girl goes, no. And I said, are you sure? She goes, yes. I said, all right. You know. I'm not going to make a stink out of it on Valentine's Day. And the food was okay. It wasn't great.
Yeah. It's
and then my fiance goes, you know what? Restaurants are on their B game on Valentine's Day anyway.
They don't have to do anything. They put up like fake flowers everywhere, put a bunch of hearts everywhere. Like,
I mean,
done.
They got too much – too many orders to put in, you know, they're crowded. It's not going to be as good of an experience as you normally would get.
No.
So I've realized after that, you know, I'm just not going to restaurants anymore on Valentine's Day. I'm done with that. You know, I've done it a little bit, but all my best Valentine's Days have just been my fiance cooks a really good meal. That's it. That's what we do.
Yeah. Usually mine are I cook and then we have a nice at home meal and watch like some movie or something.
Does your gal there cook?
Occasionally.
I'm just not sure what your cooking arrangement is.
I cook more than she does.
You cook more than I assume. You
although
cook.
Although she's making cookies currently.
So. That's not food. I mean that's a snack.
that's food. I can eat.
I mean it's food technically.
I can eat it. It's food. Anyway.
So the Return of Technodrome.
Yeah. This episode, the weird episode.
I just thought it was boring.
It's for the last episode of season 2. You think it would go out on a big bang. And
no, it does.
Like, and the well the idea good. Of like, oh, the Technodrome's coming back, this is gonna be crazy, but if nothing really pays off.
Well, here's the problem. They start the episode with apparently, you know, it's a slow news day, which I find very hard to believe in New York City. But,
well, also, you know, in a city where the turtles are destroying every other building.
Yeah, every other week they're destroying a building. You know, April O'Neil was a cat last week, and this week, you know, the boss.
That's so ridiculous that like last week she was a cat.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, it's like,
and the
like,
boss, the boss is chewing her out that there's no news.
Yeah, and she said,
"You make news."
What do we do? We go on vacation, and then Irma's like, oh, "Are you gonna see the turtles? They're dreamy."
Because we've already established with Irma, and if it's got a pulse, or even if it doesn't, as with the robot, she's about it.
Yeah,
she's into that dreamy splinter.
She was.
Everybody except Dagos.
Everybody except what's his name, Alfredo.
Alfredo the Dago. She wasn't about it.
Yeah.
So. The boss chews them out that it's a slow news day, and, you know, Irma asks if April's going to go hang out with the turtles, and I think April just says no. Or
yeah, I don't really. She just like I don't think she ever answers. She just said like whatever and leaves.
Yeah, she just doesn't want to get into it. So
and then back in the sewer, Splinter's like, "It's time for me to go on my tri-annual meditation trip."
I love this because this has nothing to do with the plot.
No. I mean,
totally cut this out. It would have made no difference.
Well, it kind of does.
No, it doesn't. And I'll explain to you why.
Okay.
Okay, so Splinter goes on his meditation,
nature walk.
His nature walk, where he goes to meditate or something.
He's going
to
go in the forest and do peyote.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to do some mushrooms. He's going to go on a vision quest.
He's going to go on a vision quest.
Whatever it's called. I'm sure to somebody who does drugs, I sound like I have no idea what I'm talking about. And the reason is because I don't.
Because we don't. We both
I have
know.
No clue. So, you know, Splinter going on his vision quest, you know, whatever he's doing. He's got to go do his thing. And then it turns out that Shredder is talking to Krang, and Krang is talking about how he's going to bring the Technodrome to Earth.
Yeah, and he needs a bunch of power, and the only way to get that is from Niagara Falls.
What's weird about this whole thing, though, is that Shredder gets all upset. No, Krang, please, just a little more time. And Krang goes, no, Shredder, I'm bringing the Technodrome. And then I'm going, why would you object to this?
Well, it's also like, throughout the season, Krang is like, fuck you, Shredder, you're on your own. And now he's like, I'm dead set on bringing the Technodrome to New York.
Yeah.
Like, his plan has never involved that. His plan was always, I want to get back to Dimension X, and I want to rule Dimension X.
Yeah.
So and now he's like, you know what? Go back to New York.
Well, Dimension X isn't exactly a great...
Dimension X sucks. The only thing in Dimension X is rock soldiers and the little color child red. Aliens.
The color red.
And little alien guys. What are they called?
Tritos.
Yeah.
It's Squaresville, man.
They're still there.
They hang out in Dimension X. That's what they do. And was it Kala?
Kala.
Kala hangs out with them. They all buy her food and, you know, take care of her. They get no action in return. Kala gets free rides, free meals. She gives nothing in exchange for it.
So they go to Niagara Falls,
yep.
And they take over Niagara Falls, and they shut the power off to New York City.
Yep.
Right.
Sure.
And then Leo immediately goes, the power's off, it must be Shredder.
Yeah, right? He just figures it out. And then he says he senses it.
Yeah, he senses that it's Shredder.
And then Michelangelo goes, whoa, dude, that's what Splinter does! You know, I didn't know you could psychically sense Shredder, too! And then Leonardo goes, well, he's not here, so somebody has to do it. And I'm going, that's not a good explanation. At all. That's not... First off, we've never established that Splinter could psychically detect
Shredder.
Maybe he'll say, I sense this is Shredder, but it's not literally a sense. He's just, you know, using his intuition. Now it's becoming a weird psychic power.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to get weirder in the next season.
So anyway,
how do they get up to Niagara Falls? They intercept a communication or something? I don't remember, but they end up learning that Shredder is in Niagara Falls, and they go there.
Well, they use Game Genie. They just skip. They skip to the level.
The writers, like, they go.
They just go, you know. They put in the Game Genie code, and they just pop up there. I watched a documentary on Game Genie the other day. That's why.
Oh, really?
That's why it's on my mind.
I want to – tell me what that is after this.
It wasn't a documentary. I just watched a few videos on it and read a bunch of stuff on it because I just suddenly felt the need to do so.
You got on a little tangent there, didn't you?
You know, Nintendo tried to sue them. Anyway.
Yeah. Do you know those, like, third developers would buy
tangent.
Third party developers would buy the Game Genie cases because they would work in the Nintendo, so they could bypass the Nintendo seal of quality.
Who did this?
Like, third party developers who didn't pass the Nintendo seal of quality, they would buy the Game Genie cases, like the weird box. All the Game Genie cases are shaped weird.
Yeah.
They would buy them, like, and then so the guts would still read on Nintendo, and not they wouldn't need the seal to make official games.
I don't think it was the seal that. Well, the seal didn't literally make it.
No, but the seal. What the seal did was let. If Nintendo approved your game, you would get the gray cart.
Well, I think you would also get. In addition to that, you would get. There was a certain Nintendo did this thing when they first released the system where there were lockout chips.
Yeah.
And there was a certain amount of chips that you needed a certain chip to get the game to play.
Yeah, that's what's in the gray box. That's why all the official stuff is in the gray box, in the little gray cartridge.
Okay.
The stuff that isn't in that little gray cartridge is unofficial stuff.
And that's the reason why – you ever notice how Konami has two companies?
Yes.
It's Konami and Ultra.
And Tengen had, like, black carts.
Oh, Tengen did have black carts, yeah.
I know a lot of useless shit about
– Well, this whole podcast is about useless shit.
Yeah, Tengen had the black carts.
It was also a device that came out around the same time as Game Genie that you would have to physically install it into your Nintendo. You have to unscrew it and put it in there. But it was basically a memory unit that would allow you to have save states.
Oh, really?
Which is really cool in, you know, in the early 90s to kind of have save states. You know, now we take it for granted. You just download an emulator, you have save states. But once upon a time, that was a big deal. So, yeah, see, the Ninja Turtles use Game Genie. They go to Niagara Falls. And they just fail, right?
Because they get attacked by the Rock Soldiers, right?
No, I don't think they get attacked by the Rock Soldiers yet. No, the Rock Soldiers come later.
Oh, they come in the blimp, right?
I don't recall. Oh, yes, that's right. They come in the blimp
and they're shot down by the laser gun.
Yeah, well, because they're in a giant blimp. Not exactly hard to miss. So they get shot down, and then they just use the little, you know, part at the bottom of the blimp.
Yeah, the glider part.
Body of water. And then they use this remote control to get the blimp to come back, which makes no sense.
Yeah, the blimp never had a remote control.
I don't recall. I don't know there's a device that allows a blimp to come back. That's a new one. You know, it's just a big thing of air. It doesn't.
Well, we've established already that Donatello can build anything from anything and make everything. Right. So who cares?
That's right. And then Splinter, while this is going on, it cuts to him meditating and he goes, "I sense Shredder's back." And then he goes to meet up with the turtles. I'm going, what the hell is the point of him leaving?
Yeah.
It made no difference. It's not like he got a special thing when he went on his little meditation quest. It contributes nothing to the plot. It would have made no difference if he was there or if he wasn't there.
Yes.
There wasn't a moment where they said, if only Splinter was here, but he's not. And then something bad happens because he's not there. Nothing like that happened. So
Splinter essentially walked from New York City to Niagara Falls.
I guess so.
That's like walking to Canada. That's a hell of a walk. That's a 6-hour drive, I think.
I walk to Canada every day. All the time. I just walk right across that border. So anyway, then there's a point where – so now Shredder succeeds – well, I mean, we're just badly retelling this episode. So,
yeah.
So Shredder –
it's a bad episode.
It's a boring episode. So Shredder – Krang succeeds in getting the power he needs. That's why they go to Niagara Falls in the first place, is to get this power so the Technodrome could come. And he succeeds, and the Technodrome comes.
Side note, if you walk from New York City to Niagara Falls, it takes 120 hours.
Wow. It's a long walk.
It's like a week. It's more than a week.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not close. I used to go to Buffalo all the time.
5 days.
Been to Niagara Falls more than once.
Yeah. It's a 5-day walk. That's not that. That's not that. But I don't. Whatever. Anyway.
I'm like, that's not that bad. Are you really? First off, it's 5 straight days.
Yes.
There's no sleeping. It's 5 straight days.
Yeah. So it's not, yeah. Let's give it like a week and a half. At Splinter's pace, 2 weeks.
Splinter.
Ugh. Anyway.
So there's a point where the foot soldiers appear. And no, so Krang is going to come into New York.
Yes.
And he finally has the power. And he gives Shredder a crew of foot soldiers and rock soldiers.
Yes.
And then Shredder gets really excited. Yes, now I have foot soldiers. And I'm going, but foot soldiers suck. The Turtles beat the crap out of them in the first season. They're not useful.
You think he'd just be like, you know what, Krang? You hold on to those foot soldiers. Give me more of those rock soldiers.
Yeah, let's get some more rock soldiers. You know, the foot soldiers are useless.
It's like the beginning of a beat 'em up when you're like, why don't they just send the last guy first? Like, that guy at the end.
He's too good. He's not gonna waste his time.
Like the guy that looks exactly like you but red. That's the harder version of you. The
evil twin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so then this fight begins to break out as the Technodrome appears, and there's all these foot soldiers and rock soldiers. And there's this weird part where April has to distract the foot soldiers and rock soldiers. And it's kind of provocative where she's just standing there with her hand on her hip, and it's from behind, and the artist just draws her butt really big, and she's in this kind of sexually suggestive pose.
Yeah.
And then she goes, yoo-hoo, and then she stands there and she runs away, and they go to chase her. I'm going, look, I know this isn't what you were going for, but this implies they're going to go rape her.
Yes.
Like, you show her kind of slightly sexualized, yoo-hoo, and then she runs, and they go, oh, they look at each other and they run. But, well, that looks like to me they're going to go rape her. That's what's going through their minds in that moment.
Yeah. That's so weird. And then there's a scene after that, after where they take them all down, and then they run into Bebop or Rocksteady or someone, and then Splinter just throws sleeping dust at him.
I was gonna get up to that. So
yeah.
I think that happens before this, actually.
Maybe.
I skipped that part. There's a part where Rocksteady is running into Turtles as they're trying to stop the Technodrome from returning, and then there's this bush randomly on the ground. I mean, they're in a forest area, but this one area is completely clear of everything, but except one bush. And as Rocksteady is charging at the Turtles, then Splinter appears out of the bush and throws this powder at Rocksteady. And then he goes, whoa, and he falls asleep. They could have at least had a scene when he was in the woods when he was meditating, and he goes, now I have made my sleeping powder back to meditation. At least it would explain he got something out of it.
It's great because the bush is just there.
It's just there. It's just a bush.
It's like when you watch old cartoons, you can see what's going to be animated because it doesn't look like the background.
Oh, same thing with video games too.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that bush is clear. Something's going to happen to that bush. It's also like there's no bush there. 2 shots ago, and then there's a bush there.
There's a bush all of a sudden. Yeah, he throws and he calls it sleeping spice. It's a spice. We just put it on food, you know, and it makes you fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, that's what he was using out in the forest. It's a stash.
Good sleeping spice. So, yeah, that's how they defeat Rocksteady, as if it was necessary. Rocksteady is easy to beat.
Yeah.
There's never a point where the Turtles have a hard time with Rocksteady and Bebop. In the comic, they do. In this cartoon, they don't.
Well, I mean, the cartoon is so inconsistent as to who can beat up who in what fight. And like,
there's one episode where Shredder kicks the crap out of everyone. The next episode, he gets beat up in a pizzeria like dirt.
You go on YouTube.
But yeah, no, Gub put up the epic kick on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
You ended that, so it was just the kick. Well, I like how it shows the turtle jar rolling, and then the kick.
Well, it kicked, and then Splinter makes his statement about, like, where is it? I need to find it. It's my favorite thing. I watch it so many times.
Take that, Shredder! Something to that effect.
He says, try again, Shredder, right after he kicks him in the chest.
People don't know what we're referring to. What turtle episode is that?
Season 2, Episode 2, The Incredible Shrinking Turtles.
Season 2, Episode 2, okay. Shredder gets kicked very
hard. I pulled that out of my ass. I had no idea. I just looked it up now, and I was like, oh, I was right. Yes.
So funny.
Shredder, oh, because they're small turtles, yeah.
Shredder just gets kicked, and it's so funny. And ever since that kick, Shredder's been very upset, and then he gets beat up in a pizzeria.
You should check your Skype.
I know. I see it. I watched this like 10 times today. In a row.
Oh, I might make a version of this that's just this for 10 hours on loop.
I would totally watch that. Just leave it on. Never gets old to me. So anyway, they defeat Rocksteady. They defeat the Rock Soldier and Foot Soldier by kicking them off of a cliff.
Yeah.
And at that point, I said, that is a good way to defeat a Rock Soldier. Because they get kicked off a cliff into a body of water. That's always going to drown now.
Yeah.
He's made of rocks. He's dead.
He's dead.
He just killed that thing right there.
That dude is no more. He has ceased.
Foot soldiers are apparently robots?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing in old cartoons where all the bad guys are robots because you can kill them. Yeah. Like G.I. Joe, they're all robots that die, and it's like, except for the main characters who aren't robots that never get shot.
And Wolverine never uses his claws on anything but robots in the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
So
there's also this weird scene right after they escape, or where Shredder freaks out that they escaped, and he's like dancing down the aisle.
Yes.
He's like, oh, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, that's at the rah, end. Rah, rah. He jumps in. Yeah, he's really mad. So,
but then he also slams his fist out and clearly presses a button because the button changes.
Well, what's great about this episode is so then, you know, they defeat the Foot Soldiers and the Rock Soldiers, and then suddenly there's a whole army. The Technodrome comes through this dimensional portal made by taking the energy from Niagara Falls. It appears, and this whole army of Foot Soldiers with vehicles and Rock Soldiers appears and surrounds Turtles. The Turtles are screwed. They're screwed.
Absolutely screwed.
And then, you know, you're thinking, okay, I don't really know how they're going to recover from this one. I mean, they're screwed. And then Krang goes, no, I will defeat them. And I'm thinking Krang is going to get out of the Technodrome and beat the crap out of them himself. No, he pushes a button on the control panel and it points a gun at them.
Yeah.
And the gun doesn't work because he doesn't have enough power. And then at this moment, the Turtles go, Turtles, let's split! And they just beat up a few Foot Soldiers and run.
Yeah.
And then
They exit stage left.
Bebop shoots a gun at them, or Rocksteady, or somebody, and Leonardo deflects it off of his sword. It hits the Technodrome. It hits a giant tree branch. It breaks. Falls on Shredder and a few other Foot Soldiers, and then they get the turtle blimp to appear with a big rope hanging on the bottom of it. They grab the rope.
Who fixed the turtle blimp?
Well, it was never broken.
Did it get shot down?
No, only the bottom compartment. They only use the top compartment here.
Oh.
So then, and then the turtles escape, and then it cuts to Shredder. He runs in, and he's freaking out. Like, he jumps in the air. Oh, he's so mad the turtles got away. It's so funny.
It's my favorite part of the whole episode. He jumps and throws a hissy fit, but he also jumps and throws a hissy fit while walking down the hallway.
It is pretty funny. And then now the Technodrome has reappeared, and Krang says he's going to destroy New York City, and so everyone should evacuate.
Yes. What is it? For what purpose?
I don't know. I think he just says it's his now. Maybe he's not going to destroy it. I forget. I think he's going to destroy it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just going to destroy it.
Maybe he'll take it over. I don't know. He's Krang, you know? You don't think about it. Yeah. So, anyway, what ends up happening is the Turtles, what they do is they decide they're going to go get, you know, the Technodrome. And then they get inside of it because of Donatello. They find the Technodrome. I don't remember how, but it's pretty
easy. Yeah, it's like in the sewer now.
Yeah, well, they found it in the first season really easily, so I don't question how they found it.
Because Donatello's an expert at tracking stuff in the sewer.
That's right. We've established this. So Donatello goes, oh, I know how to get into the Technodrome. I have this new device I invented. And he just pulls out a ninja star. Well, yeah, you created the ninja star?
Why do I remember that?
It's so funny. And then he throws the ninja star at the Technodrome, and he goes, oh, well, it's supposed to explode. Well, you know, I guess it didn't work. And then it blows up.
Oh, yeah, he just makes the ninja star.
I guess it didn't work. And then I'm going, you invented a ninja star that explodes? You know, Shredder has already thrown these at you, okay?
Yeah, he has one. He's the last episode or two episodes ago.
It was two episodes ago. He blew up a bookcase. That part is so random, but it's so funny. It's just the ninja star and then and it falls down. So they get inside the Technodrome, and now this epic battle happens between Splinter and Shredder. And
yeah,
it,
on that weird walkway.
Well, it's a weird bridge walkway, and
like,
I don't remember.
Like a Empire, like Empire.
So then the turtles go inside the Technodrome to finish things up, and then Bebop and Rocksteady appear with a crew to finish them off. And then honestly, I don't remember what goes wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember either. It's like I literally just watched it a couple minutes ago, and I don't remember. Like they fight each other, and they beat the shit out of them, and then they're fighting on the walkway, and then the bridge breaks.
The bridge breaks because
the laser shoots it.
I think
we're both just scrubbing through this episode looking for exactly what happened because I don't remember.
I don't remember, but something goes wrong in the Technodrome.
Where'd that laser come from?
Okay, I remember what happens now. All right, so this is what I thought. Rocksteady gets thrown into the control panel.
Oh, right.
Control panel room, and that screws everything up. And then, now, the ending of this episode is probably one of my favorite endings ever. It is out of, like, a video game. It's so ridiculous. So now the Technodrome is freaking out.
Yes.
And the drill in it is malfunctioning or something weird. And then Splinter and Shredder's fight ends abruptly because the bridge walkway they're standing on. This reminds me of Star Wars, when there's like that weird walkway.
Yes.
At one point, and they're in an energy section in the Death Star. It reminds me of that.
In Empire. So,
no, it's in Death Star. Oh, it's in Empire too, actually. But it's a different one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the Death Star, not Death Star. New Hope. Anyway, so then now the drill is malfunctioning, and it decides to drill down into the core of the Earth.
But oh no, Splinter's still there.
Splinter is still there, and Shredder is hanging on from the bridge by his cape. Because the thing split. So when it split, when he was fighting Splinter and Shredder, when Splinter was fighting Shredder, Splinter was able to climb away. But Shredder was stuck hanging by his cape, you know, from falling to certain doom. And then as the Technodrome is going deeper into the Earth, you know, the turtles get out. And then they go, oh, no, Splinter's in there. And then Splinter jumps out literally last second from the hole they created. And then it cuts through.
Yeah, and this is the best part. Because it's like a six-year-old writing it now.
Like a child wrote this scene.
It's like, what happens now? They keep going. And where do they hit? The molten core of the Earth.
And it's just a big thing of lava. And as it's going down, you hear Krang. You see the Technodrome going into it, and you hear Krang. No, no, no!
They are dead.
I just split that thing.
It's the best.
Yeah, yeah. And as he's going to the lava, he's going, I'll get you for that. It reminds me of, you know, when the Wicked Witch melts. Yeah. They're melting! You know, it's the same kind of thing. And then it just cuts to the turtles going, all right, we beat them. We got pizza. And they have some stupid throwaway joke where April goes, well, I just realized I'm the only human here. You're half human and he's half human or blah, blah, blah. Some stupid like that. She goes, I'm the only 100% human. And then Michelangelo goes, well, no one's perfect. And the episode ends on this weird joke that has nothing to do with anything. But how can the Technodrome survive going to the core of the Earth?
Here's my thinking is they don't know they're getting a second season.
A third season, you mean.
A third season. So they're like, it can end.
They just kill them. They just kill them. I can't wait to hear why they don't die in season 3. I want to know. I don't think any explanation can possibly make any sense.
Season 3 is going to be the best. Season 3 is the best.
Oh, and I was talking to – I don't know if I mentioned this. I talked to Gov about this before we recorded the episode. The animation quality in this episode is bad.
It's garbage. This is
it looks like crap.
Yeah. This is like the beginning of the end of quality in the show.
Yeah, and it was already going down.
It's only going to get worse from here.
Yeah. No, it just looks bad. It looks sloppy.
Yeah.
The characters look off model a lot, and they just look crappy. Everything looks like it was done in 5 minutes. But yeah, I mean, the fact that they go into molten lava, let's say for sake of argument, they try to say, well, actually, it turns out the Technodrome is immune to lava. Okay, but there's a giant hole in it.
Yeah, I kind of want to, there's a giant hole. I kind of want to see what happens, but I don't really want to ruin it.
Even if there is a giant, you know, plating around the Technodrome that prevents lava from destroying it, well, it goes in the Technodrome anyway because there's a hole in it.
They're back next episode.
Yeah, of course they're back. I just want to know why.
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
We'll find out. You'll find out, listeners.
And that's season 2.
season two, it's over. It ends on a whimper.
Did you see so
we barely could explain it. That's how uneventful it was.
Did you see the thing I sent you?
No, I didn't look.
This is coming out. This just debuted at Tokyo Wonder Festival. It's Ninja Turtle figures from the 1990 movie. They look so awesome.
I'm gonna look this up, listeners. You can just listen to me look it up.
I sent you the link on the.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to load.
Oh.
Problem is, I always load things with my old browser that I never use because it's my default. So then it has to open up and it takes forever.
I can send it to you. I can send it to you on a different.
It's all right. It's loading up now. But yeah, so that's season two.
And it's some ups and downs. We had
movie action figures look great.
Yeah, they look fucking awesome.
They look great. Well, they're figurines. They're not action figures.
No, they're also supposedly like $700 a piece.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense to me.
They also launched the Ninja Turtle board game.
Yeah, I sent that link for you for that.
You did. I'm not excited about it.
I am. I'm just not going to pay that much for it.
Well, I'm not going to pay that much for it, and it's also like that game exists. Like, it's just a standard RPG tabletop game. There's nothing particularly unique about
it. No, but that doesn't. I mean, that doesn't mean it'll be fun to play.
Oh, it'll totally be fun to play, but it's also like $90 for a fucking game.
What I like about the Turtles board game is that Kevin Eastman is on the Kickstarter video telling people to get it, and I'm going, wait a minute, why is Kevin Eastman there? Why is Kevin Eastman promoting this? And then I'm thinking, why does Kevin Eastman work on the IDW Turtles book? And Peter Laird, I think that's his name.
Laird, yeah.
Does it? And then I'm going, Eastman broke? I think he's broke. And
no, I think Kevin Eastman. I don't know what happened
he's broke. He's broke.
I don't think he's broke.
I don't think he's broke literally, but he doesn't even have any of the rights anymore to Ninja Turtles.
I'm sure he gets a cut of something.
No, he doesn't.
Sure.
The rights were bought from him by Peter Laird and Viacom or whoever owns the rights to Turtles right now. Like, he does not have the rights to Turtles anymore. I think Peter Laird still has some, but he has nothing. And I'm going, all right, so let's look into Kevin Eastman a little bit. At some point, he marries a porn star or like a softcore porn star or something like that, some kind of Playboy model. He does Heavy Metal magazine. He starts that and all this stuff. And I'm going, okay, this is probably where he bankrupted himself. Right here is where he ruined his career. And now he just works on the IDW book a little bit, and he promotes board games.
No, well, Laird and the Mirage Group bought Eastman's ownership of Ninja Turtles property and corporations.
Yes.
Then Eastman, now he writes the series.
He doesn't write the series. He helps plot it.
Working in the team of series, yeah, as an advisor on the reboot.
He writes series. Tom Waltz, I think that's his name. I think it's Walt. I forget. Whoever writes the Turtles book is a really good writer. And he's the scripter, but the people, like, they plot it out together, and then what's-his-name script said. So my point is that, you know, at some point, one of these Turtle creators, you know, marries a supermodel, starts a magazine, does all this other crap, now he's broke. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. And that's,
And then he did that one to himself, you know?
And that's the episode.
It's the season. There it is. It's over. It ends on a whimper. That lava part killed me. But
that lava part's great.
I mean, this seems sudden. It seems sudden. It doesn't seem like it was built up. In the first season, they build everything up to the Technodrome. In the last episode, April was a cat.
Yeah.
And now the Technodrome? I mean, I don't understand. They should have at least made it a 2 or 3-part episode. At least it's up to it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But next season has all the crazy episodes, apparently. I think the Rat King shows up. I think Casey Jones shows up. Usagi
Yimbo
shows up. Leatherhead
shows up, and he's in a business suit.
I think what's the guy? The metal one. What's his name?
Oh, Metalhead.
Metalhead.
Is it Metalhead? they like that head. Leatherhead. Metalhead.
Yeah. Oof.
I think it's Metalhead.
One called Case of the Hot Kimono. I don't know what that's about.
Well, I do know I think the first time Casey Jones appears, or if not the first time, very early on when he appears, there's a part where he's in a courtroom in a business suit, but he's wearing a hockey mask.
Casey Jones appears in episode 3 No, season 3, episode 27.
I can't believe how long
it's been
this show.
Episode 23.
It's a really long time.
Yeah. You think?
Casey Jones. I disagree. I object. He's in some a courtroom with a hockey mask on.
I don't remember that.
Well, I'm looking forward to season 3. Season 2 got, I don't know, it was all right. Season 1, ooh, I actually.
Season 3 is when they realize this show makes too much money.
Yeah.
Because they went from a 18 episode season 2 to a 47 episode season 3.
I don't know how you even do that. I don't even understand how that's possible.
The quality dips tremendously.
Well, you tell me, you work in the animation industry. Are 3 or 4 different studios working on this at the same time?
I guess I think they're outsourcing all the animation like to more than one studio to animate.
That's what I'm saying. Can one studio produce 47 episodes in a season? Is that even possible?
In Korea, you can, because you don't fucking eat, sleep, or do anything.
That's really funny.
It's on the cheap, and you hire people in mass.
Yeah, but my point is, though, is that even if you're outsourcing it, isn't it still very difficult to do?
Yes. They still do it.
That's funny. That's it. We're out of here. I am King Cowabunga heading out. We'll see you next time. We'll see you. We'll explain how Shredder and Krang somehow survive going into molten lava in the core of the earth. They survived that. That reminds me. I know there's a video game where this happens, where something goes down into a pit.
You think of the end of Terminator 2.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? No. I know exactly what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of when Bowser goes into the lava in Super Mario Bros. 1.
I've never beat Super Mario Bros. 1.
Well, every time you beat a castle, you...
Oh, I guess he just falls in the lava.
Falls in the lava. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here. I think I'm thinking of something from Super Mario World as well for some reason. But anyway, we out. I'm King Cowabunga heading out.
And I'm Pizza Toss and Go.
See you next time. Take care.
Later.